We'll take our text from that, and then we'll take a look at the thought that the Lord has given me here, all right? The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him," this is Jesus speaking, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he willing to justify himself. Man, come on, help me right here. A lawyer was a Baptist. I don't want to get on my preaching right now, but the lawyer was a Baptist. He willing to justify himself. Said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, come and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." I preach this passage of scripture, man, a ton. I wouldn't even put a number on it. I love this passage of scripture. Most people do. Most preachers do. What a beautiful picture of Christ, and we'll get into that here in a little bit. But we preach this passage of scripture, and every time I've preached it, I cannot remember. I'm not saying that I never have, but I cannot ever remember preaching it with the application of this certain man that went down and fell among thieves being a brethren. I've always preached it that he was a lost man. I've always preached it that he went down, being from Jerusalem to Jericho. There was a steep elevation change. And so the wording here is that he was going down, as if going down the mountain. But we've always used that, and rightly so, to show that man in sin is a downward spiral. And sin will leave you beaten, stolen from. I need somebody to say amen right here. Left half dead in a ditch. But as we look at this tonight, I want to, maybe the Lord to help us tonight, I not only want to apply it in that sense, but I do want us to see also that I believe that this certain man was a Jew, which would be him, would make him to this lawyer a brethren. And I want to say this, there's a lot of people out there right now. There's a lot of folks in church right now that are making mistakes, and they're falling amongst thieves. And the brethren are treating them just like the priest did and just like the Levite did. And we're crossing over on the other side, afraid to spend any time in restoration, afraid to spend any time because we worried what they got might come off on us. I want you to look with me just for a few moments, and I pray and I hope that when this thing is done with, you and I will know who our neighbor is. I want you to look with me at the first off the tragedy. We see the man's characteristics. He was human. I need somebody to help me right there. The fact of the matter is that you and I will look at somebody and we will demonize them if something in their life isn't like ours. All of a sudden, they're no longer worthy or capable of mercy. We look at them as if they're so much of a failure that they cannot be helped. And the tragedy is the fact of the matter is we got a real enemy out there that is attacking our families, attacking our preachers, attacking our Sunday school teachers, and it doesn't matter how great you are. The Bible says that him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And it can happen to any one of us. The tragedy here, we see this man's characteristics. He was human. And he was a Hebrew. I believe this story wouldn't have made sense, and this story wouldn't have had the impact on the lawyer that it had if this man that had fell among thieves would have been a Samaritan. He would have excused himself from the equation and thought the man didn't even need help. I believe that he understood that the man that fell amongst thieves was a Hebrew, was a Jew. And therefore, it was more impactful when the Samaritan stopped and helped him. As we move through this, we see his characteristics. I want you to notice his circumstances. The Bible says as he journeyed, as he was going. Can I say this? The devil has traps and snares set for us all along our journey. Am I getting through to anybody tonight? Man, we look at other people, and if they've made a mistake, man, all of a sudden they're a disease. All of a sudden we act as if nothing possibly could happen to us that would make us fall among thieves. But yet, how many of you said this now? We talked about it Sunday. How many of you said, "Preacher, I'm not as committed as I want to be"? Come on, y'all, help me out now. How many of us said that? Listen here, if we're not as committed as we want to be, I want to tell you something. There's a good chance that we're falling one of them same traps. His circumstances, he wasn't expecting to fall amongst thieves. Hey, he wasn't expecting it. It was unexpected and it was undesired. He didn't set out that morning and say, "Woo, I'm going down to Jericho and I sure hope I find me a good thief that'll take everything that I got, beat me and leave me half dead. I need somebody to help me." Man, we act like people. Is everybody all right? We act like people willfully. They just went out there and doing their best to try to die or get beaten and robbed from. Fact of the matter is, he was going along his way and he fell amongst thieves. Undeserved, undesired, unexpected. We've preached this all kind of ways, but I don't see anything in there that says he was doing bad. I don't see anything in there that says he was doing bad. You make it what you want to. You try to pull out a type out whatever you want to. But all Jesus said was that he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the direction of it was down. You take that however you want to, but don't read too much into that. The man was on a journey and he fell amongst thieves. Could happen to any one of us. As we journey through life, you and I can fall amongst thieves. We see his characteristics, his circumstances, his condition. He was hurting. We see the discomfort of the man. The Bible says that he fell. We see the depletion of the man. The Bible says he was stripped. We see the disabling of the man. The Bible says he was wounded. We see the destruction of the man. He was half dead. We see the desertion of the man. He was left. You know what I'm finding? That a lot of brethren who get caught up with the thieves ended up being deserted. Man, I'm gonna say it and I'm gonna preach it a little bit later, hopefully. But the Levite and the priest passed by on the other side. The brethren. Is everybody all right? They were just as responsible for him laying in that ditch as the thieves were. I'm tired of beating each other up. tired of it. I get sick of it. I get sick of hearing preachers beat each other up because somebody don't do things like you do them. Get tired of hearing Christians beat each other up because people don't do things like you do them. You put me and you out there together and you and me working together, and I promise you, we're going to do things different. Is everybody all right? I promise you. My daddy taught me everything I know. Well, not everything. But you can put me and him in a job together and building a building, and I will send him in to get a glass of tea, and when he comes back, I'll have the wall up. I need somebody to help me right here. But you keep him out there with me, and we'll argue about how that wall's going to get put up for 25 minutes. We can do it his way, and the wall's still going to go up. Or I can send him in for a glass of tea, and when he comes back 5 minutes later, the wall's still up. I don't think you understand what I'm saying right here. We both have different ways of getting it done, but both of us get the wall up. We ain't going to... You won't find two carpenters that agree on a cut. But put both of them together, and they're going to build a house. Hey, is everybody understanding what I'm saying? We ain't all alike. We ain't all going to do things the same way. But we all should have the same goal to build a house. Quit hurting one another. He was hopeless. He couldn't help himself. Half dead. He was hopeless. The priest, there was two that came by, a priest and a Levite. A priest, an interceder. Oh, this is good. Lord, give me this. The priest, he was an interceder. He was the one that went to God on behalf of the nation. He should have went to God on behalf of that man laying in the ditch, but he didn't do it. He passed by on the other side. The Levite, he was a servant. His job was to minister in the temple for the people. He left his job. He should have served. He should have helped. But he walked over on the other side. Why? Because it was more convenient to go to the other side. It cost him less money to go to the other side. It cost him less time to go to the other side. It was more comfortable for him to stay on his side. But I want you to notice something that I ain't seen. Lord, give me this. There was plenty of company on the other side. He wasn't the only one that passed over that way. We got people in our church we ought to be interceding for. Instead, we want to pass by on the other side and look at him as we walk on by. We got people we ought to be serving that are laid in a ditch and we cross. Is everybody all right? It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy in our churches. It's a tragedy amongst our preachers. It's a tragedy amongst Christians, period. We see the tragedy. I want you to notice the traveler. We see in verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I think back, I'm going to be honest with you, I think back when I was lost and I was that certain man that was on my way down, fell amongst thieves, and the Samaritan came to where I was at. Somebody help me tonight. I noticed this about him. He was the least likely to help. I mean, it would have made sense for a Jew to help this man, but for a Samaritan... The way they treated one another, the way the Jews treated them, the way the brethren treated the Samaritan, he was the last one. Come on now, y'all help me. Somebody do you wrong, you'll look at him and spit. He was the least likely to help. He was hated by his brethren. He was despised by them. Matter of fact, according to the Bible, and as you read, the Samaritans were rejected by the Jews. But he came to where he was. And the Bible says that he had compassion on him. He saw the condition of the man. He realized that he couldn't help himself. And so he showed compassion. And he did something about it. When others would pass on the other side, when others would let him fall, he showed compassion. He treated his wounds. He cleansed them with the wine. He soothed them with the oil. He took his place. Put him on his beast. Gave him his possessions. Took him somewhere he'd be cared for. Paid all of his debt. And promised that he would return. I need somebody to help me right here. I don't know how you got saved, but I was laying in a ditch about half dead. I was laying in a ditch with no help. I watched brethren after brethren. I watched person after person cross by on the other side. Didn't want nothing to do with me. But God came to where I was at. I couldn't get to him, but he came to where I was at. He poured some of that wine and some of that oil into my wounds. That wine being, oh, I like this right here. That wine was a cleansing agent. Do you know that 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Well, I sure am thankful for that cleansing. I sure am thankful to be covered by the blood. I sure am thankful to be taken care of. Paid my debt. The traveler. What a picture of Christ and what he's done for you and I. We see the tragedy of the traveler, but we want to see the teaching. I want to get to this. And the teaching was this. For us to see others as Christ, as God sees them. The lawyer, y'all are all quiet. The lawyer wanted to pick and choose who to help. The lawyer wanted to pick and choose who to help. Well, I'll help them because they're lost and they need help. I'll help them because they're new and they don't know any better. But I ain't helping them. They should have known better. The teaching is that you and I are to love as Christ loved. We're to see others as he sees them, and we're to love others as he loved them. And we are to be the neighbor, not be concerned in who the neighbor is. Man, I know it's good. They ain't getting it yet. That means when you and I see somebody in a ditch, we have an obligation to love them. Not kick them. Not cross by on the other side with our nose in the air as if we deserved better and they deserved what they got. I don't get to pick and choose. Everybody's shaking their head at me right now. Oh, yeah, you're right, preacher, you're right. But the first time somebody does something that you don't like, man, the Lord convicted me of this. Get in these meetings with these preachers and all they do is bash one another. Well, he didn't do it like I did it, and so we're going to go up there and we're just going to set the record straight. And it's trickled down in our churches, and we're doing the same thing in our churches. And people to sit in our churches, sit on one side of the pew or sit on one side of the aisle because somebody else is sitting on the other side of the aisle. We're no different than a lawyer that said, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus emphasized it wasn't about who the neighbor was. It was about being a neighbor. It wasn't about who we were supposed to be a neighbor to. It was about us being a neighbor. It wasn't a list that you and I were to choose and pick through. It was an obligation that every one of us have to be the neighbor. Why? Because we were the one in the ditch. Man, y'all better help me. The reason is because we were the one that was in the ditch to begin with. And Christ loved you. Christ came where you were. God commendeth his love towards you. And that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. The teaching is for us to see others as Jesus sees them. Do you understand that that person that fell, that person that fell amongst thieves, that person that you despise is the same one that God died for? That one that you cross on the other side, that one that you refuse to love, is the same one that nailed him. The love drove him to the cross. His love for them drove him to the cross. And he laid down his life for them. Well, I don't agree with them. I don't agree with you. Well, it ain't all right. Neither are you. I'm having fun. You ain't right, preacher. I know. I wouldn't even be here if I was right. In my right mind, I wouldn't pastor a church. Somebody help me. You right. I ain't right. It's a God thing. I promise you that. Teaching. See others as Christ sees them. To love others as Christ loves them. To be a neighbor. The truth is that you and I are more like the lawyer than we are the Samaritan. Now that's the truth. Here's some truths for you. You and I are more like the lawyer. Don't give me that highfalutin look. We more like the lawyer than we are the Samaritan. We look at ourselves and we want to pat ourselves on the back and say, I'm the Samaritan. No, you're the lawyer. He was arrogant. Yep. Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what does the scripture say? I need somebody to help me. What does the Bible say? See, I had somebody, I watched somebody today. They put on Facebook and they said, here's a hard pill to swallow. What did it say? It said, here's a hard pill to swallow. Just because you don't approve of abortion doesn't mean that you have the right to speak out against every abortion. I typed out, I erased it because I knew I'd probably end up in jail and cussing somebody out. But I typed out and I had to erase it, but I wrote out to him, I said, here's another hard pill to swallow. Your opinion about murder and your opinion about abortion does not change God's mind on the subject. There's your hard pill to swallow. The Word of God don't cater to what you and I think. I need somebody to help me. I'm getting somewhere with this because the lawyer said, what must I do? And Jesus said, it's in the Word. It's already there. There's no new revelation. It's already there. It's already written. I've already told you. I've already said it. You just got to go back and read it. You got to apply it to your life. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is everybody all right? Old lawyer. Jesus said, what does scripture say? He said, oh, I got this one. I got this one. I'm a scholar. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, man, that's a good job. You answered right. He said, this do and thou shalt live. And the Bible said, but he willing to justify himself, said, who's my neighbor?
What arrogance. Is everybody all right? The man implied that he had kept the first commandment.
I'm going to say that again a little bit louder for everybody to understand. He implied that he had kept the first commandment, and the issue with him was the second one. But the fact of the matter is there ain't nobody in this room that has kept the first one. Oh, is everybody all right? Well, preacher, I'd love to come to church tonight, but I can't. I got a ball game I got to go to. Preacher, I'd love to. Is everybody all right? So now you can't measure somebody's love for God based on their attendance at church. Well, I tell you one thing. You tell that to my wife, because I promise you, my attendance at the house says a lot about my love for her. Says a lot about my love for her. You ain't found around the house. It ain't going to take long. Mama's going to go looking for somebody else to love her. Christ gave his life for the church. He loved her and gave himself for her. And we treat it. Come on, I'm having fun. Hey, we treat it like, well, if I don't feel like going to church tonight, I ain't going to go. If I get a better deal tonight, I'm not going to go. Hey, Chick-fil-A is having a special on a Wednesday night. Thank God they're not open on Sunday. Bless God, if they were open on Sunday, none of y'all would come to church. They'd put the stupid cow up there and everybody would skip. We going to take pictures with the cow tonight? The arrogance of the lawyer to think himself as having accomplished the first commandment. What arrogance. But it's in us. It's in us. We think we've arrived. And so when somebody else falls, we look at them down our long, pointy little Nancy Pelosi nose. With her dentures hanging out. Lord help, that was an ugly woman. Somebody help me right here. I don't care if you're a Democrat. That's an ugly woman. He thought. He was so arrogant that he thought he had done what he was supposed to do. He just needed a little clarification on who his neighbor was. My Lord, I'm going to tell y'all something. We argue about the Ten Commandments being in the courthouse. You and I couldn't do the first commandment. We see his assumption. His assumption was, his arrogance was, he had already accomplished the first one. But his assumption was that there was a limited number of people concerning the second one. Well, I ain't got to like them unless they're this or unless they're that. So let's clarify that. Am I supposed to like them if they're white? Am I supposed to help them if they're white? Is everybody all right? Am I only obligated to help them? Brother Matthew's here with us. He's in the prison ministry. Am I only obligated to help them if they're not incarcerated? Am I only obligated to help them as long as I agree with their lifestyle? Am I only to be a neighbor to somebody that'll cater to whatever I want? His assumption was that he was not obligated to everyone. In other words, he could pick and choose. I'm having fun. I know where I'm going. You don't, but I do. His arrogance was he had kept a commandment. His assumption was that he wasn't obligated to everyone. His argument was, you just give me the list and I'll keep it. God already proved they wasn't real good at keeping laws. Somebody help me right there. As a matter of fact, they couldn't keep the law. That's why he died for them.
I want to give you a couple nuggets and I'm done. You can't fulfill the first commandment by refusing to do the second one. Y'all get that sometime about midnight tonight. Y'all wake up and put on, y'all text me about midnight and say, I got it. Hey, you can't fulfill the first if you refuse to fulfill the second. Christ put the emphasis on us being the neighbor. He said, he asked, which one was the neighbor? He said, the Samaritan. He didn't say the Samaritan because he was too racist to say that. He wasn't on the list. Is everybody with me? He wasn't on the list. I suppose the one that showed mercy. Jesus said, yep, you're right. Now you go and do likewise. He said, you go and be like the Samaritan. You go and do like he did. Didn't matter who was in the ditch. Christ put the emphasis on us being a neighbor, not on identifying who our neighbor was. I wrote down another little nugget. You and I, there isn't one person that you or I have a biblical right to treat bad. Is everybody all right? Say, well, preacher, I just love the brethren. That'd be good. That'd be good. Bible says, new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, with a pure heart, with a pure heart, fervently. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I'm having fun. Y'all having fun? And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And now beseech ye, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Is everybody all right? Say, preacher, that's a lot of loving. Sure is a lot. You know, there's a lot. But I know what you're thinking. We're to love one another. We're to love the brethren. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 43 and 48 says, "Ye have heard, it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust, and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." I don't know about y'all, I give you a bunch of verses about us loving one another. And then I give you some verses that said that we to love those that ain't the brethren too. Those that we would consider our enemies. Those that we don't like. The Nancy Pelosi's of the world. Is everybody all right? I know who I'm talking to. Lord dealt with me on this. I don't get to pick and choose. I don't get to pick and choose. I'm to help. And if somebody's in a ditch and somebody's hurting, who else is going to go to them? Now, there's some things I can't do. There's some things only Christ can do. But he sure give a commandment right here that we're to do as he did. And we are to love one another. Whether they're lost, tattooed up from one side to the other, nose rings, earrings, toe rings, I don't even know what all kind of rings they're putting in themselves now. Spiked hair, no hair, bearded. Is everybody all right? A lot of preachers have a problem with a man having a beard. I got a problem with a man that don't have a beard. Somebody say amen. Talk to him. Tell him, brother. Got a problem with a man that ain't got a beard. More like a woman than you want to be. Of course, now we got women growing beards. Where do we get off on this? We find that you can find anything wrong with somebody. Man, my only obligation is to love you like Christ loved me. And I fail at that, and I apologize. You're right, we all do. But I'm standing here before you and saying I fail at it. I pick and choose just like the lawyer. I'm more like the lawyer than I want to be. I'm arrogant enough to think that I go through life and do everything right. Come on, don't even play with me right now. Let's just be honest about it. If our sin ain't the same as their sin, we'll justify our sin just like the lawyer justified who his neighbor was. And we'll look down on their sin all the while nurturing and feeding our sin. Our sin might be in private where theirs is in public, so we think nobody's sinning. Just as arrogant as he is. And oftentimes I assume, just like he does, that I get to pick and choose. Well, bless God, I told them not to do that, and then they went off and done it anywhere, and now they're in the ditch. They can just live in the ditch. I need somebody to help me. That is me. My wife will tell you, well, she's up there working, but anyhow, my wife will tell you that is me. I give somebody an instruction, and I'm like, hey, don't do that. And they go right over there and do it. I'm like, well, you get what you got. Come on now, help me. Ask my kids. Don't go touch that light socket. There they go. Well, I'm gonna video it. I I told you, kids screaming and crying about to die. I told you not to touch the thing. Now you just sit there and cry and hurt. And we do the same thing to each other. Mm-hmm. What kind of difference could we make in Lake Park if we loved like Christ loved? Hey, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I read a bunch of commandments right there that said that you and I are to love one another. Did I not? Do I need to go back? He said, I've given you a new commandment that you love one another. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I can't do number one without doing number two. If I ain't going to love others, then I can't rightly claim to have loved him. Where are you at tonight? You on the other side? Passing by on the other side? Go ahead and help you. There's plenty of company there. There's plenty of people over there to make you feel good about yourself. That what you're doing is the right thing. They'll egg you on in a sermon and say, amen! Hallelujah! While they're passing by on the other side. But the rest of the crowd, the ones that should be interceding, the ones that should be serving. Hey. Man, don't you hate it when the Bible just messes up your entire philosophy about life? Wait a minute now. I ain't got to love everybody. I mean, what about them they got a reprobate mind. I don't recall him giving him a test to find out if he was in his right mind. He just found somebody in the ditch that was half dead. I don't recall him making him fill out a questionnaire to make sure that he met all his standards before he put him on his beast and took him to the inn and paid for his care. I might have missed it. I don't remember him doing a Google search to make sure that they didn't have a background. Or they wasn't on a list. I just seen him loving him. With a command that rang through my ears Monday night that says, go and do likewise. Let's get around the altar. If the Lord ain't dealt with you sitting, you just sit right there. I think there's enough. We'll fill up this altar, and those of us that need it. I sure wouldn't want to be caught passing on the other side. When my job description was to intercede, when my job description was to serve, when a commandment was given by the one that saved me to love. Heads bowed and eyes closed with me. You get with the Lord. I encourage you, don't try to justify yourself tonight. Don't spend your time trying to argue about the sermon. I can give you opinion. I give you Bible. I read verse after verse after verse. We're to love one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. Our army is getting smaller. In case you hadn't noticed, there's a lot more people in this world that hate us than that love us. There's a lot more people in this world that is against us instead of for us. The last thing we need to do is start wounding our own. I heard a preacher say one time that the Christian army is the only army that shoots their wounded. God help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you a question tonight. I told you I was that same man in the ditch. God came to where I was at and God saved me. I was in my sin. The Bible said, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The Bible said, old Paul come to the conclusion in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 9 that we are all under sin. Verse number 10, he said, there's none righteous, no, not one. The devil had his way with me. Left me wounded. Left me in a ditch. Stripped. Taken from. Hurt. On September 28th, 1997, God came where I was at. He visited me at Bible Baptist Church in Brunswick, Georgia, and he saved my soul. Cleansed me with his blood. Tonight he'll do the same for you. Say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I was to die tonight, preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. If that's you tonight, I want you to do me a favor and I want you to raise your hand up. That's all I'm asking you to do. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want you to just raise your hand right up. I won't embarrass you or send anybody to you. It's just me looking. Thank you. I see it. Anybody else, be honest with me. Preacher, I'm not sure. Preacher, I don't know. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the hand. God, you know the situation. You know the need. God, they've already shown enough faith to be saved tonight. Just by the mere fact, Lord, that they have acknowledged a need of salvation. Lord, I pray they put feet to their faith now. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you'd give them the courage, the liberty. Lord, bind Satan right now. Keep distractions down. God, I pray, Lord, that they walk out of here different than they walked in Jesus' name. Head still bowed and eyes closed. I want to help you. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is your choice. But I want you to know I love you. I don't know you, but I love you. I love you because he loves you. I love you because he loved you so much. He came and died for you. There's no greater love than that. A mama won't love you like that. A daddy won't love you like that. A spouse won't love you like that. But God loved you like that. Tonight I'm begging you to come right here where I'm at and let me get somebody to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you let me do that tonight? Come on. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for a Wednesday night church service. Lord, a service where, Lord, you just decide to show up for a little bit, save somebody. God, I pray that you be with this one as they go back. Lord, give clarity and understanding. Lord, as the scripture is open and as the word is read, Lord, I pray, God, that there be understanding. And Lord, I pray tonight she'd call out on her almighty God. Lord, I pray you cover her with the blood. Cleanse her. Lord, give her life. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, all the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. I had fun. I don't know about you, but I know this. I had fun. I don't like coming to church I don't know what church was if I didn't come to church and God didn't deal with me about something. I think a lot of people come to church with this idea of feel good. They want to shout and holler and leave, and that's all great. But I'm undone. I'm a mess. I have a hard time. Somebody help me right here. I have a hard time going through my day just being a Christian, much less a preacher. I'll say that until somebody gets it. I have a hard time. I struggle every day. I was up there at that meeting, or down there at that meeting this morning, and Brother Mike was talking about humbling yourself. And boy, we were talking, and he said, I just don't know a good way to tell you how to humble yourself.